So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or by what I say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order for me to not be conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Ian was having some friends over for his birthday this year, and I decided to bake a cake. And some of you that know me know that I love to cook, and I cook a lot and every day, but I am not a baker. That's a different skill. Cooking and baking, they are two different things. So I decided on an extra moist yellow cake with chocolate frosting. I was a little nervous if his friends would like it, because, you know, everybody buys a store-bought cake these days, and it's so pretty and wonderful, and I obviously did not quite feel up to that challenge. So I took my time, and I was really careful. I took it out of the oven, and it cooled off for a little while, and I went to take it out of the baking pan, and it was a sheet cake, and I thought I had a handle on it. I was being really careful, and when I flipped it out of the pan, in a second, it dropped on the counter, and it broke into about 5 pieces, 5 rather large pieces. And then I was like, oh, no, what do I do? Because I had to go get Ian and his friends from school. So I did not have enough time to bake another cake, let it cool down, and frost it. So I was more than a little upset. I reassembled the cake as best I could. Any of you have ever broken a cake, you know that this is kind of a hard task. It doesn't really fit back together just right. And when it cooled off, I frosted it. It looked pretty good, all things considered. It was a cake. I was still really disappointed. But when Ian's friends came and they ate the cake, they loved it. Especially the ones who got the cracked, broken pieces, because they had more frosting. This is really good. And in a lot of ways, the cake as a whole was more special than some others that I had made. It took a lot more time and effort to put that thing back together and try to make it look somehow presentable. It was also special because it was a birthday cake. We were celebrating Ian. And that extra love that it took to make it back into what it should have been to begin with was a great gift, I think, at the end of the day. In many ways, I think that we are like that cracked cake. We are broken people, broken by life circumstances, shattered by our own wrongdoing, and by the sins of others. Sometimes we can end up a mess, like that broken cake, a clump of pieces. If we didn't matter, if we were not special and loved, God would not invest all that time in repairing us, in mending us, in helping us. God loves us deeply, and in our most broken and vulnerable times, God is so very near to us. God's grace can be like chocolate frosting in this way. the sticky, sweet glue to mend our cracks, and the soft covering to soothe our damaged hearts. Those parts of us that are healed by grace, they are like those pieces with extra frosting. Parts covered up, saturated in grace. All the more valuable because those parts are sealed in God's love. God's efforts to make us whole again cannot be overestimated. God sent Jesus Christ to accomplish this work at a very great cost too. These areas of our lives that we may think are shameful, all those places where we want to hide, those are the places that God can heal and can make presentable again through grace. If we turn to Scripture, we turn to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, we see an area in Paul's life that needed attention and needed a lot of grace. Whatever Paul's suffering, he wouldn't name it. He simply calls it a thorn in the flesh. We could guess at what it might be. It could be depression. It could be an illness, a temptation. Maybe Paul struggled with doubt. We don't know. He just calls it a thorn in his flesh. And because he doesn't tell us exactly what it is, I think it makes it easier for us to relate to him. We can substitute our own struggle, our own challenge, whatever it might be, into this passage. And whatever Paul wrestled with, it was tough, and it wouldn't let up. He asked God 3 times to take it from him. He calls it a messenger from Satan that torments him. Whatever it is, it's bad. Paul pleads with God to take it away, but whatever God's purpose, it does not leave him. Paul, by this point, if you follow Paul's history, you know that he had become a skilled preacher. He had traveled over much of that part of Antioch and the region. He had become an excellent teacher. He was well known. He was a scholar, a writer, such a talented man. And he stresses in this passage of his letter that this thorn will prevent him from becoming too conceited, too prideful. Paul reminds us that when we go too far on our own power, our own steam, our own wit, our intellect, our talent, that we can forget the source of all of our giftedness. And that source is God. Paul shares this message from the Lord, and it comes across as a blessing. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that there's all this black text and then all of a sudden you get red text again because those are words from the Lord. We find grace in Jesus Christ, the embodiment of reconciliation and forgiveness. We find grace in Christ's ongoing ministry in our world through the work of the Holy Spirit. We find grace in the giftedness of people empowered by God. We find grace in the sweet love that draws us into the very intimate corners of God's heart. We find grace in our very being as God's creative energies hold our atoms together and hold us into existence in this very moment. When the Lord tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," it means that God will supply our need. How God works grace into our lives is sometimes miraculous and big, and sometimes small and unseen. I often hear people at the hospital say this, "God never gives us more than we can bear." And people will say it as though it has the power and authority of Scripture. I challenge you, it is not in this book. Sometimes folks say it at the worst time in someone's life, at a time when someone has lost a child or a partner of 50 years. These are things that no one can bear. It is such a hurtful statement. God did not give that awful burden. God doesn't intend death and suffering for us. It's a result of the brokenness of our world. And as harmful as making us think that God might want to hurt us, is also the idea that we are not allowed to break down, that we are not allowed to feel weak, that we are not allowed to cry out, "This is too much." These are the times we cry out. Those times are when we need grace all the more, and we need those around us to hold us up. When we cry out like Jesus, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" we rely on our community to support us when we cannot go on. They carry God's light and grace for us in those moments, reminding us of God's love through their ministry of presence. So if we're going to talk about what God says about trials, Paul's letter is so much more helpful if we're going to quote something, quote scripture. The emphasis here is on grace, not our own internal strength and what we are able to endure or to bear. Grace is always a gift from God or a gift from other people carrying on God's work. My power is made perfect in weakness. Not our power, not my power, but God's power. Sometimes we do break. Sometimes we do buckle under the weight of what happens in life. And in that weak place, we find God's grace when we seek it. We find God's enduring promise, and our frailty allows even more of God's grace to enter our lives. At our worst moments, when our feet fail us, when we are lost, absolutely lost in the wilderness, it is the strength of Jesus' arms around us, comforting us, that leads us to call him the Good Shepherd. In the difficulties of life, big and small, we can feel God's presence if we invite God's grace in. Paul certainly recognizes this, that it is in these low moments, these weak moments, that Christ has an opportunity to demonstrate Christ's power to us. "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Acknowledging our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, calls attention to God's grace working in our lives. Our broken places testify to God's movement in and his sovereignty over our lives. Those places are where love is deeper and stronger. Those places humble us, yes, and even embarrass us sometimes. But they are evidence of wounds that have been dressed and healed by God. And we all know that the spot on a bone where it has broken is stronger than the rest of the bone. That place where we fell down, where we gave in, where we made a huge mistake, that is the place where grace can move in take over and transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot like frosting on a wrecked cake, grace can become the very best part of us. Grace can fill in the gaps of our character. Grace can cover the ugliness of our sin. If we will accept and receive this free gift, grace can remake us. It can remake us into who God always intended for us to be. Beautiful, forgiven, and yes, even glorified. Grace is like frosting because we crave it. It is sweet and wonderful, undeserved, and superfluous. Grace is like frosting because, like a child, we should never be ashamed to ask for it. More, please. More, please. Especially to ask for it when everything is falling apart. Grace is like frosting because it is best when shared with other people. Like those people who act through the inspiration and empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help us, to be there for us, to be the presence of Christ in the middle of darkness. Grace is like frosting because it can build back up what has crumbled and fallen down. Grace is like frosting because once you've tasted it, once you've gotten that little taste of it, you will want to share it with everyone you meet. And who in this room could turn down even a lopsided piece of cake that has extra frosting on it? We come to our time of commitment. We're going to sing a hymn of meditation and invitation. It's hymn number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And if you're struggling with something in your life, please come forward. I would be glad to have a time of prayer with you. Many of you know that I serve as a chaplain. That's my job, 40 plus hours a week, to offer comfort and care in the midst of terrible times. If you've never joined a community of believers, now is the time to come forward and be blessed by this community of believers. This is a great family that has welcomed us and made us feel so loved and treasured. If you've never experienced the grace of baptism, I ask you also to come forward. We will pray with you as a church. We will support you as you begin this marvelous, wonderful journey of a believer in following Jesus Christ. So please stand and sing hymn number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.